Welcome back to 1 Peter on Through the Word. Pastor Jonathan here, and today we come to a very controversial passage of the Bible. Verse 1. Wives, in the same way submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Now, few verses have been more misused than this passage. Before we get into what this passage means and how it still applies today, let me first explain what it does not mean for wives. It does not mean that you should never disagree with your husband. It does not mean that if he is abusive, you're called to take it. And it doesn't mean that you are to be humiliated or denigrated in any way. Submission is not subjugation. If any of these things are happening to you, seek help. So, what does this passage mean? To fully understand this text, we need to remember what it says in chapter 2. Live such good lives among the pagans, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. As Christians, there are going to be unbelievers that will see our good works and turn to God because of them. Peter has already talked about being a witness before governing authorities and unkind bosses. Now he brings up unbelieving husbands. Think about this. There are going to be many men in heaven that owe their salvation to the grace shown to them by believing wives. In all three of these cases, government, workplace, and home, Christians are called to be people that walk after Christ. You see, submission is not about obedience to an earthly entity, but rather it is about obedience to Christ. So, submission has more to do with following Christ's example of humility, rather than being treated as a second-class human. And take note, this submission is to be voluntary. It is not the responsibility of husbands to enforce their wives' submission. That's subjugation, and it has no place in a Christian family. Submission is a voluntary act of humility, a noble act taken between equals to show honor and love. Jesus submitted to human parents. Let that sink in. Paul addresses this topic in Ephesians 5, and he roots the submission in theology. Wives are to submit to their husbands just as the church submits to Christ. In fact, Paul presents the entire marriage covenant as a picture of Christ's love for his bride, the church. In that light, submission becomes a sign of our submission to God. Verse 3. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Peter's Roman culture, like our own, was obsessed with the external appearance. Women were under extreme pressure to always have the best hair, the best jewelry, the best clothes. Paul warns Christians that their physical appearance is not to be their focus. Our culture puts an extreme amount of pressure on women. One recent study revealed that nearly 70% of teenage girls feel insecure about their looks, and up to 92% say that they would like to change something about their physical appearance. This obsession for outward adornment comes at a terrible cost. Women are almost twice as likely to become depressed as men, and in teenagers, the ratio is higher. Teen girls are three times as likely to become depressed. So Peter here is actually leading the way with the fight against the objectification of women. Peter here actually thinks higher of women than our culture today does. Peter does not say, no makeup and no hairstyle, but he insists that those outward elements are not the source of your beauty. So what should women focus on? The inner person, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Verse 5, for this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Often when this passage is taught, the world around us tries to convince us that the Bible is calling women to be weak, to take a step backward in the fight for women's rights. But Peter's use of Sarah as an example proves that he isn't asking for this at all. Sarah was not afraid to confront Abraham, and at one point, God even tells Abraham to listen to his wife and do what she says. Later, Proverbs 31 encourages a young king to honor and empower his wife as she works and makes important family and financial decisions. So be careful to read this passage as Peter intended it. Whatever the situation we find ourselves in, living under an unjust government, a terrible boss, or a difficult husband, Peter is reminding us to submit, not to show weakness, but rather to show the power of Christ in us to the world around us. Now, finally, in verse 7, Peter has a word for husbands. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Peter commands husbands to show respect for their wives, to be thoughtful in how they treat them. He reminds husbands that their wives are co-heirs and partners with them in the kingdom of God, and that means equal. That's a huge statement in first century Rome. Men, we must treat our wives with respect and dignity. Now, don't let the word weaker confuse you. It is true that the average husband is physically stronger than the average wife, but Peter says, respect that weakness. Remember that physical weakness often accompanies spiritual strength. Weaker in muscle, perhaps, but stronger in Christ. Husband, respect the balance God placed in your family. You need it. And Peter ends this topic with a word of warning. Mistreating our wives will hinder our prayers. Now, what does that mean? I'm not sure, but God cares enough for our wives that he warns us that mistreating them will affect our walk with him. Verse 8, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Peter ends his section on submission with a note for all believers. Bless other people. We are called to bless people who mistreat us, who insult us, who are evil to us. And to prove his point, he quotes from Psalm 34, written during a very difficult time in David's life. He had been anointed by Samuel to be king over Israel, but was running from King Saul and his henchmen, who were trying to kill him. David was hiding in the caves. He could have killed Saul and taken his place, but he refused to attack the king. What a great example to Peter's readers of a man submitting to the will of God by submitting to an unjust ruler. By blessing those that sought his death, David proves for us all that God rewards the faithful. What an encouragement to us all who are called to submit to ungodly and unjust rulers. So it is in this context that Peter gives this command in verse 15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. I've heard this passage used countless times as a proof for the need of apologetics. And while it is important to know the answers to some of the difficult questions you may be asked by non-believers, Peter here is preparing his readers to be ready to explain the hope that we have while we are suffering. When you suffer through the same stuff your neighbor does, but you have hope, they're gonna want answers. Everyone suffers. So how can we patiently endure injustice and mistreatment at the hands of those in authority over us and hold on to hope? How can a Christian wife stay strong in a marriage that is difficult? How can we deal with a terrible boss with joy and peace? And how can we have peace in a country where we are continually seeing the sinfulness of our leaders? When we are asked, we can explain the reason for the hope in us. And this is important. With gentleness and respect, you can tell others that Jesus is Lord in your heart, and every worry and concern submits to him, and we are looking for God to raise us up in his time. Ecclesiastes 3 says that he has made everything beautiful in its time, so God will vindicate us. He will lift us up. But while we wait for that day, let us endure. Let us bless those who persecute us. God will enable you to do it.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.